My Powerful CEO Husband. Chapter 21. The Silver Handgun. Mr. Caleb Mamet, Steve Price walked in with a mahogany box and saw Caleb Mamet and Xavier Evans hugging each other. He quickly turned around, "Sorry, Mr. Caleb Mamet. I didn't see anything." Xavier retreated from Caleb's embrace as soon as she heard his voice. Feeling the empty embrace, Caleb snorted in his heart, called back Steve who wanted to leave, and introduced him to Xavier, Steve Price, company assistant. "Xavier Evans, my wife."
"Hello, Mrs. Mamet."
Steve had previously heard from driver James that their master had gotten married outside the Civil Affairs Bureau. He thought it was just a strategy for KLB to deal with the head of the Mamet family, but looking at the situation, just no W. There must be something going on between these two, and the so-called sudden marriage was is to cover. Xavier nodded lightly in response to him. "Mr. Caleb Mamet, this," Steve weighed the mahogany box in his hand, unsure if he should continue. Seeing the situation, Xavier tactfully said, "You go ahead with your work, I'll go upstairs."
"No need."
Caleb raised his hand to stop her, took the mahogany box from Steve's hand, opened it and handed it to Xavier. "You said you were brave, right? Then open it and have a look." Steve couldn't help but try to stop him. "Mr. Caleb Mamet, you—" Caleb ignored him, and Xavier was even more direct, swiftly unlocking the mahogany box. Inside the box, lined with red velvet, lay a cold shining handgun with a rare silver body, beautiful and exquisite. Xavier's eyes lit up. As they say, the head of the Mamet family is indeed powerful, even guns can be used. Since returning from abroad, she hadn't touched such a thing because only public officials in China were qualified to carry guns, and ordinary people would never even come into contact with them in their lifetime. Caleb stared at Xavier's face, not missing a single change in her expression. He didn't know what a normal woman's first reaction to seeing a gun would be, but he knew it definitely wouldn't be the expression Xavier was showing now. Her eyes were crystal clear, full of eagerness to try. Xavier quickly glanced at Caleb. It wouldn't be a tease for him to show her the gun, would it? So, taking advantage of Caleb's inattention, she swiftly grabbed the gun, the weight and feel of it making her very satisfied. Click. The sound of the safety sliding made Steve's face turn pale, and he stuttered a warning, be careful, MRS. Mamet, this is a real gun. This was not a child's plaything. It was a dangerous weapon that could take a life." Xavier rolled her eyes. Of course, she knew it was a real gun. Reluctantly touching the gun body one more time, she put the gun back into the mahogany box and couldn't help but exclaim, "Great gun." Seeing Xavier's small action, Caleb closed the mahogany box and asked with a smile, "Have you ever touched a gun before?" Xavier's action of loading the gun was skilled and natural, as if she had done it thousands of times. Just practiced a few times. Xavier retracted her gaze from the mahogany box and spoke lazily. Caleb licked his lips. Miss Evans, who had been thrown into the countryside by the Evans family since she was a child, actually knew how to use a gun? Thinking about what the Evans family had said about Miss Evans being weak and unable to take care of herself, Caleb felt that the Evans family eyes were probably blind. With a flick of his hand, the mahogany box landed precisely in Zaviera's arms. Caleb nonchalantly said, "Since you know how to use it, I'll give it to you." Steve stared dumbfounded. That was a gun. Who would give a gun to someone else? What Steve couldn't accept even more was that Zaviera just raised an eyebrow and simply accepted the gun without any refusal. What the hell were these two doing? It was bad enough that Mr. Caleb Mamet was abnormal, but even the wife he married was just as abnormal. After Zaviera carried the gun upstairs with satisfaction, Steve approached Caleb and asked in a low voice, "President, Yo-Yo, and Mrs. Mamet," he pointed upstairs, meaningfully, "what's going on? Didn't the Evans family say that Mrs. Mamet was in poor health and weak, and see Alden take care of herself?" Caleb gave him a sideways glance. "You believe what the Evans family said? When did your brain stop working so well? Steve, do I need to have someone investigate it?" "Mrs. Mamet, she," Steve was still not quite at ease. Zaviera was so different from the person they described, and Caleb's identity was extraordinary. Putting someone like her beside Caleb would be like putting a time bomb that might explode at any time. Caleb was silent for a while, then shook his head and refused, "No need, she has no ill intentions towards me." And, he looked down at his hand, thinking about the feeling of holding Zaviera in his arms, which was surprisingly good. The woman might sometimes be prickly, but when she was vulnerable, she was even more heartbreaking. He didn't know what kind of experiences Zaviera had. Chapter 22, Craving My Body. The next day, when Zaviera Evans woke up, she noticed how strangely quiet the house was, and then she suddenly remembered what happened. Mr. Caleb Mamet had sent all the servants away yesterday. Caleb Mamet sat on the couch with his long legs crossed, casually browsing through some documents. Seeing Zaviera come down the stairs, he nodded towards the dining room, "Go have breakfast." Steve Price poked his head out of the kitchen, "Wife, you're awake. Breakfast will be ready soon." Zaviera entered the dining room, pulled out a chair, and leaned on one hand while watching Steve busy in the kitchen. "Why are you cooking? No new servants." Steve wiped his hands. "Mr. Caleb Mamet said you should pick the servants, see who's someone you like." Zaviera sighed, "Too much trouble. You guys just handle it." Caleb Mamet slammed the documents on the couch and said coldly, "Like it or not." He wanted to make Zaviera comfortable, but she was not appreciative. "Zaviera." She quietly motioned to Steve, lowering her voice and asking, "Is your boss in a bad mood?" Steve looked at her speechlessly. Their boss was learning how to be nice to a woman for the first time, but this woman didn't seem to care. "Madam, if you're not too busy, maybe you can consider picking a servant or two. It won't take much of your time. I'll call the M over, and you can pick the ones you like." She couldn't say no since he put it that way. Seeing her nod, Steve breathed a silent sigh of relief. At the dining table, Zaviera ignored Caleb Mamet's cold air and sat down next to him. Steve looked at one, then the other, feeling odd. He thought something was going on with these two, but now they seemed so distant. It was impossible for Zaviera not to notice Caleb Mamet's low mood. Pressing her temples, she suddenly grabbed the back of Caleb Mamet's neck and brought his face closer to hers.
Mwah.
She kissed him on the lips, softly coaxing, "Don't be angry, holding in anger while eating will upset your stomach."
Caleb Mamet.
Steve Price.
Pht.
Caleb Mamet glared at Steve and then pushed Zaviera away. "Who's angry? Just eat your meal, and stop being handsy."
Zaviera touched her lips and smiled obediently.
One kiss not only calmed Caleb Mamet down but also got her a tasty breakfast.
What a deal.
Upstairs study. Steve chattered behind Caleb Mamet, "Boss, are you really the same person I know? You're the one being pushed around.
Wow, madam's so dominant at the dining tablet, just one push, one pull, and she kissed you.
Is this the happiness of a lawful marriage?
Asterisk and also, if your relationship with madam is so good, why haven't you been staying together?
Did madam kick you out of the room yesterday?"
This morning's scene was too shocking for Steve, he couldn't get over it.
Shut up.
Caleb Mamet was so annoyed.
Steve snickered, "Boss, are you shy?
You must be, right?
Shy?
What's there to be shy about?
That woman is always drooling over me, she's not shy, so why would I be shy?
She's drooling over you, probably because she likes you, right?
Why else wouldn't she drool over me?"
Steve's words made Caleb Mamet stop in his tracks.
He looked back at Steve, eyebrows slightly raised, "You're saying she likes me?"
Steve nodded as if it was inevitable,
"Yeah, that's right."
Glancing at Zaviera, who was sitting in the living room downstairs playing with her phone, Caleb Mamet whispered with a faint smile,
"No wonder, no wonder she wanted kisses so often, it was because she liked him."
This fact pleased Caleb Mamet greatly.
Right then, Steve's phone beeped.
He glanced at the incoming message,
"Puzzled, President, Madam had an accident before and lost her sense of taste. Everything she eats tastes bitter.
But she seemed to have a normal breakfast earlier,
right?
What did you say?"
Caleb Mamet's eyes narrowed instantly.
Steve had no idea how he'd suddenly angered the boss. All he could do was H and him his phone, which showed the results of yesterday's investigation. Even though Caleb told him he didn't need it, as his assistant, it was Steve's responsibility to ensure Caleb's safety.
After quickly scanning the message, Caleb Mamet's expression turned dark as water.
What liking, it was all a lie.
If he remembered correctly, Zaviera had wanted to discuss divorce on the day they first met.
However, she accidentally kissed his finger and tasted sweetness.
Caleb still remembered Zaviera's bright eyes, brighter than the stars in the night sky at that moment.
She excitedly pointed to his finger and said it tasted sweet.
Someone who had always been only able to taste bitterness suddenly tasted sweetness from him, which led her to change her mind, no longer bring up divorce, and constantly wanting to kiss him, savoring that elusive sweetness.
Chapter 23, The Great Swindler.
If Caleb Mamet was right in his guess, after every kiss, Zaviera Evans was able to taste the original flavor of the food.
Liar.
A big liar.
She said she liked him, but she was clearly just using him as a seasoning.
Steve Price watched Caleb Mamet's increasingly gloomy face with fear.
"Mr. Caleb Mamet, Are you worried about your wife's health? If you're not sure, I can ask Levi to come and give her a comprehensive check, up. Caleb Mamet sneered, no need.
Steve Price, watching Caleb Mamet angrily close the door to his study, Steve Price's heart almost jumped out of his chest. Mr. Caleb Mamet's mood had been quite unstable recently. It was really like being with a tiger. The commotion they made was quite loud, and Zaviera couldn't help but look up, just in time to meet Steve Price's helpless gaze. Zaviera, is he angry again? Steve Price suddenly felt like crying. Mr. Caleb Mamet was just too hard to please, it's fine, he'll be all right in a while. Zaviera spoke as if she was experienced in dealing with this. Steve Price shook his head, feeling that it wouldn't be easy to calm this matter down. The one who caused the problem should be the one to solve it. He pushed up his glasses and sat down across from Zaviera, asking seriously, Madam, do you like Mr. Caleb Mamet? You must like him, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't have married him. As he asked the questions, he secretly turned on the recording function of his phone. Like? Zaviera instinctively questioned, what counts as liking? Steve Price. Liking someone means missing them when you can't see them, wanting to hug and kiss them when you see them, and wanting to be together all the time, right? It was hard for him, a single man, to be analyzing emotions for a married woman. Zaviera compared what he said to her own situation, and besides wanting to kiss Caleb Mamet to regain her sense of taste, she didn't really fit the other conditions. Then I guess I don't like him. Zaviera analyzed the situation rationally. I married Caleb Mamet because he was the only one who agreed to help me on that day at the Civil Affairs Bureau. I needed a husband to help me get the shares of the Evans Group, and Caleb Mamet probably needed a woman to deal with his family's marriage pressure. So our marriage had nothing to do with liking each other, but simply served our individual needs. Serving individual needs, huh? Steve Price's hand, holding down the recording key, trembled slightly. He felt like he couldn't see tomorrow's sun anymore. Maybe for Zaviera, it was all about serving individual needs, but he knew that to Caleb Mamet, it was definitely not just that. If it were just about serving individual needs, he wouldn't have introduced Xaviera to them, nor would he have given her control of the villa. Madam, how do you feel about our Mr. Caleb Mamet? If you want to date Somion, would you consider him? Steve Price couldn't help but cry. After contemplating this question for a while, Zaviera thought she might be willing to consider it. Although Caleb Mamet was prone to getting angry and could be a bit difficult, he was still quite cute. Thinking of the protection he offered and the comforting embrace from the day before, Zaviera pursed her lips, feeling the urge to escape for the first time. She didn't know how to answer Steve Price's question. So, she found an excuse and slipped away. Madam. The hand that Steve Price reached out only caught a wisp of air. Please, finish your sentence before leaving, madam. He looked at the still ticking recording device, unsure whether to save or delete it. Zaviera went straight to the underground garage, where she remembered there was a modified sports car. Her emotions were too unsettled, and she needed something more exciting to suppress them.
Steve Price heard the deep roar of a car engine and sprang to his feet. This was. He rushed out the door, just in time to see the silver car body perform a drift, gracefully disappearing from sight. Steve Price. Not caring that Caleb Mamet was still angry, he hurriedly ran upstairs and knocked on the study door, "Mr. Caleb Mamet, your wife is driving away." Caleb Mamet didn't want to pay attention to him, but Steve Price kept repeating his message like a broken record. Irritated, Caleb Mamet yanked open the study door and asked grimly, "So what if she's driving? Can't you drive?" Steve Price blinked, "I can drive." "So, it's normal for his wife to drive too?" "No. This wasn't about whether she could drive or not. Your wife is driving the modified racing car you own, not a regular car." Modified cars were made according to Caleb Mamet's habits, they were very different from normal cars. Xaviera, a girl, might easily have an accident driving an unfamiliar car. Caleb Mamet's face changed. "What are you waiting for? Go find her now." Xaviera drove back to the apartment she had rented before. This place was her secret base, mainly for dealing with some hacker issues. After completing Money Mamet's job last time, she owed the website. Now after aging in, share boxed that Moore had sent her thany messages, asking when she would start working. Chapter 24, Extra Money Required. Meanwhile, in the Evans family, Moore Mamet is discussing the company partnership proposal with Mag Evans. Suddenly, a message arrives on his phone. He takes a glance, Black Tide has replied. She says she can infiltrate their system whenever we give her our signal. Mr. Evans, who is listening on the side, can't help but be overjoyed. "Really? Then let her infiltrate now." Moore hesitates for a moment. If we let Black Tide intervene, Xaviera might have trouble on her end. Once the evidence in Xaviera's possession disappears, they can do whatever they want with her. All the dirt on Mag can be poured onto Xaviera, making it impossible for her to ever turn over a new leaf. Suddenly, Moore's conscience rises from his bones. It's not Xaviera's fault, and blaming everything on her to protect Mag is completely unfair to Xaviera. Mag's hand, hidden underneath the table, tightly clings onto her skirt, but her face is full of sorrow. "Moore, let's not get Mortimer involved. It's all my fault for loving you so much and making the foolish decision to fake a pregnancy. My sister is innocent, it's unjust if we do this to her." After a pause, she continues, "Even if my sister has changed, she's still my sister. No matter what she blackmails me with using the video on her phone, I'll just agree to it, Mag." Mr. Evans sternly speaks up, "Besides being Xaviera's sister, you're also the heir of the Evans group. You can be soft-hearted towards Xaviera because of your sisterly love, but as the heir, everything you do is closely related to the Evans group. If you're grasped with such important leverage, it's like burying a ticking time bomb for the company. Now is not the time for you to hesitate. What if Xaviera's reputation is ruined? She'll always be Miss Evans, and with you, the future heir of the Evans group, protecting her, how could she suffer? A countryside girl like Xaviera, and Mag who had been groomed to be the heir since childhood, it's Celia who's more important." After listening to Mr. Evans' words, Moore feels they make sense. Uncle Evans is right, Let's just wrong Xaviera this time, and we'll find a way to compensate her later. A moment later, Xaviera's work phone rings. Miss Blacktide, this is Moore Mammoth. Moore speaks with utmost respect. Xaviera, with a voice changer, speaks lazily in a mechanical tone, so you're the one who offered $30 million for me to hack a girl's phone. The words coming out of her mouth adds an oddly sleazy connotation to the situation. Moore's request to have Blacktide invade Xaviera's phone was obviously to protect MAG, but being phrased like that by Blacktide, it makes him look like a pervert trying to invade a girl's privacy. Still, Moore doesn't dare say anything more. No one wants to provoke a top hacker who can effortlessly infiltrate into their phone and steal any encrypted files. Please forgive me, Miss Blacktide. I had no choice but to seek your help since the girl threatened my fiancé with a video. As a man, it's my duty to protect my woman. Oh, you're really a man of great loyalty. But after some casual investigation, I found that some things you mentioned don't seem to fit. At the other end of the phone, it becomes dead silent. Moore is surprised that Blacktide found out his true identity in such a short time, and also alarmed by Xaviera's investigation. I wonder what Miss Blacktide has found. Some things might not be accurately portrayed by the outside world. I can explain them personally to Miss Blacktide. All right, then Mr. Mammoth can start by explaining your fiancé's situation. As far as I know, your fiancé should be Xaviera, and you offered $30 million for me to hack her phone. But you just said you're doing all of this to protect your fiancé, so do you have another fiancé? Yes, my fiancé is Mag. She's Xaviera's younger sister. Hearing Moore's words, Mag's eyes well up with tears, and she can't help but lean her delicate body onto Moore's shoulder. Xaviera smirks, so you hooked up with Xaviera's sister, Mag, while being engaged to Xaviera. Mr. Mammoth, you're quite the player. Miss Blacktide, Mag, and I are truly in love. She's gentle and kind, loves me wholeheartedly, and is also a famously talented woman in Lebanon. It's perfectly normal for me to fall for her. But Xaviera, she's from the countryside, crude and ignorant, and full of lies. She doesn't deserve to become a part of the Mammoth family. Not worthy of becoming a part of the Mammoth family, huh? Xaviera speaks with a meaningful smile. Mr. Mammoth, it's better not to be too absolute with some words. What goes around comes around. Without giving Moore a chance to ask questions, she directly says, I'll accept your request, but since your actions are dishonest, I'm raising my price. Chapter 25, I Want Your Shares More. Mammoth was very friendly. You just let me know, and I will try to meet your needs. No, you don't need to step in this time. Since it's a matter concerning the Evans family, it should be resolved by them. Xaviera Evans leaned on her hand with lazy and indifferent fine brows and eyes. Mr. Mammoth, you don't mind if I talk to Mr. Evans, do you? Mr. Evans nearly flattered as he took the phone. Hello, Miss Blacktide, this is Derek Evans. His hand holding the phone trembled slightly, both excited and nervous. If he could get on good terms with Mortimer, the Evans group would rise to a new level. The capabilities of a top hacker are immeasurable. Miss Blacktide, I don't know what you want, but as long as I can meet your requirements, just let me know. Although family shame should not be spread, the situation has developed to this point, and I really have no choice. My eldest daughter is threatening Mag with the video. Once the video is made public, Mag will be completely ruined. We have talked to our eldest daughter and begged her, but she remains unmoved. If there was even the slightest chance, we wouldn't have resorted to this. Zaviera played with her hair. Mr. Evans must have a hard time with such a daughter, right? Derek sighed. What can I do? She is my daughter after all, and even if she does something wrong, she is still my daughter. Zaviera sneered in her heart. In that case, I won't make things difficult for Mr. Evans. I'll just ask for 5% of the shares of the Evans Group. No. Before Derek could respond, Rose Campbell refused. I don't agree. These 5% of the shares were originally meant for Mag. Why should we give them to an outsider? Shut up. Derek covered the receiver and shouted at Rose, What do you, a woman, know? Do you know what it means for Black Tide to take a share of the Evans Group? As long as he released this news, the Evans Group could take a big step forward. This deal would surely benefit Black Tide, but Derek would not lose either. That's the strength of a top hacker. Miss Black Tide, rest assured, the 5% shares will be transferred to you soon, and as for my daughter's matter, Mr. Evans's love for his daughter is truly touching. Don't worry, this matter will be resolved soon. With that, Zaviera hung up the phone. The Evans family. Rose was heartbroken over the 5% shares and kept muttering, 5% of the shares, that's 5% of the shares. Her husband's bias meant that 65% of the shares would automatically be transferred to Zaviera once she got married. The remaining shares were spread among various random shareholders, and Derek only had around 20% left. Chapter 26. Wait your shares now. Giving 5% to Black Tide all at once, Rose would be strange not to feel sad. Besides, these 5% were originally planned for Mag. Derek glanced at her, long hair, short insight. What you see is Black Tide tacking 5% of the Evans Group's shares, but what I see is Black Tide helping us, allowing the Evans Group to soar. Mag also gently persuaded, Mom, I know you're doing this for my sake, but Dad is right. A top hacker is too important for the company. You also said these shares were originally for me, so using my shares to solve my problem can also ease my guilt. You and Dad have been so worried about me lately, and it makes me feel terrible. Good child, good child. Derek, touched, patted Mag's hand. We are all a family, and it is our duty for your mother and me to go through this for you. More Mammoth hugged Mag and softly comforted her. Uncle and aunt are right, we are all a family, so don't put too much pressure on yourself, okay? Yes. Mag shyly lowered her head. After hanging up the phone, the scene in the villa appeared before Zaviera's eyes. She sighed troubledly. Mortimer, what do you think it means to like someone? Her finger lightly tapped on the screen, and perhaps because she had recently faced emotional problems and had been consulting Mortimer, he was the first person she thought of. Strangely, Mortimer, who usually replied instantly, took a long time to respond this time, to be anxious about her, to be emotionally unstable, that must be W hat it's like to start liking that person. Xaviera was full of question marks, is this really liking someone? She felt that Mortimer's words seemed more like wanting to skin and debone someone. Before she could respond, Mortimer sent another message, do you have so me own you like? I advise you, don't like anyone. Even if you do, make sure th at person likes you first. Otherwise, actively liking someone who doesn't even like you back feels like shit. Xaviera immediately sat up straight, okay, I got it. Love is too terrible. Even Mortimer, who is always calm and composed, has started cursing. In the back seat of the black Maybach, Caleb Mamet's knuckles turned white as he gripped his phone, the atmosphere in the car tense and chilly. Driver James couldn't help but give Steve Price a meaningful glance, USH old try to calm the young master down. If this keeps up, we'll freeze to death in here before we find the lady. Steve had just finished a phone call and took off his earpiece to report back to Caleb Mamet, Mr. Caleb Mamet, our people have checked all the car outside NTS in the city in the last hour, and we haven't found your wife. Modified cars are not that easy to drive, and accidents can happen if one isn't careful, so Steve had his people check the accident scenes immediately. Also, the traffic bureau has sent us a message, but since there are routine maintenance checks on some main roads, your wife's driving route is still being confirmed. Give me the computer. Caleb Mamet can't wait any longer. He impatiently ripped off his tie, and his well-defined fingers flew across the keyboard. In no time at all, the computer screen was filled with footage from surveillance cameras at every intersection in Libanon. Thinking of the message Black Tide had just sent, asking him what it meant to like someone, Caleb Mamet couldn't help but grind his teeth. What does it mean to like someone? This is what it means for him, the thought of Xaviera Evans possibly being in danger, of not being able to hear that crazy woman righteously demand kisses, and that there would be no other woman named Xaviera Evans in this world, drove him mad with anxiety. He didn't care any more about the deception or using him as a decoy. After processing a few more accumulated files, Xaviera Evans finally packed up her things and prepared to go home. The old staircase echoed with every step she took. She carried her bag, going down the stairs while wondering if Caleb Mamet's anger had subsided yet. Just then, the sound of urgent footsteps came from the bottom of the stairs. Xaviera Evans stepped aside to make way, and in the next second, a tall figure rushed up and pulled her into his arms. Damn it, who let you drive around like that? Panting heavily, Caleb Mamet held Xaviera Evans in his arms without loosening his grip for even a moment. Such an intimate distance made Xaviera Evans' heart skip a beat. She instinctively took a step back to get a better look at Caleb Mamet's expression, but the moment she moved, he closed the distance, his hot, powerful hand around her waist trembling slightly. Caleb, let me hold you for a while. Caleb Mamet's voice was hoarse as he bent his back and buried his head deep in the crook of Xaviera Evans' shoulder. Steve Price, standing on the floor below, quietly signaled to driver James, and the two silently left the stairwell. Had it been about 10 or 20 minutes? Xaviera Evans couldn't remember, but by the time Caleb Mamet let go of her, her legs had gone numb. What's going on with you? As Xaviera Evans rubbed her numb legs, she asked him with confusion. Caleb Mamet looked a bit disheveled, his tie gone, his shirt unbuttoned by three buttons, and hanging from his body, revealing half of his collarbone. His hair hung down messily, covering his deep, dark eyes. He looked forlorn yet unbelievably attractive. Xaviera Evans' gaze lingered on his collarbone. The area under her gaze felt like it was on fire, the heat spreading throughout his body. Caleb Mamet felt uncomfortable and gave a light cough, raising his hand to cover up and button his shirt, not feeling relaxed until the button below his Adam's apple was fastened. Xaviera Evans reluctantly moved her gaze away. "How did you find this place?" This area was the old city, mostly inhabited by nostalgic elderly people. Caleb Mamet didn't answer. How could he answer? Should he say it was because he was worried Abu Dhar? Because he had invaded the traffic bureau's system to find Xaviera Evans' location? Although he admitted in his heart that he liked Xaviera Evans, it was impossible for Caleb Mamet to say it out loud. This woman is heartless. With a cold snort, Caleb Mamet turned and walked down the stairs in high spirits. Xaviera Evans. Downstairs, Steve Price and driver James leaned against the wall smoking, their eyes occasionally scanning the old stairwell. "Old James, don't you think our Mr. Caleb Mamet has finally fallen for a woman?" The Caleb who has always ignored women finally met his match. "Impossible." Driver James shook his head. "How long have Mr. Mamet and the lady known each other, and with their acquaintanceship, no way, no way." Steve Price pushed up his glasses, his words loaded with meaning, "You're speaking too soon." It didn't matter how they met or how long they knew each other, what was important was that Steve had been with Caleb Mamet for so many years, and this was the first time he'd seen him lose his composure over a woman. Steve Price couldn't help but feel that their boss had fallen, and he had fallen hard, when he thought of Caleb Mamet's expression upon finding out Xaviera Evans had driven off in a modified car. Chapter 27. Clothing Design Competition. Footsteps came from the corridor. Steve Price and the driver hurriedly extinguished their cigarette butts and stood up straight. "Mr. Mamet. Mr. Caleb Mamet." Steve turned to look behind the young man but did not see Xaviera Evans. He couldn't help but ask, "Where's Mrs. Mamet?" Caleb Mamet coldly replied, "What are you going to do with her?" "Steve. Come on, don't you care? You brought everyone from far away to find her." When Xaviera came down with her bag, her modified car had already been taken away by driver James. Steve waited for her in the corridor. "Mrs. Mamet, Mr. Caleb Mamet is waiting for you in the car." Xaviera was puzzled. "What are you guys here for?" "Business talks." Steve glanced at the dilapidated neighborhood around him, then looked at the man sitting in the back of the Maybach, his figure barely visible. He smiled and said, "Yes. As a special assistant, being adaptable is the most basic ability." With just one sentence from Xaviera, he knew that Caleb hadn't mentioned anything to his wife. Since the person involved hadn't said anything, of course, he wouldn't say more. In the back seat, Caleb was working on his laptop. Xaviera glanced at him but didn't dare disturb him. She placed her backpack on her lap and asked Steve, who was driving, "Where's the car I drove here?" "It has been taken away by Oda." Steve glanced at Caleb's dark head through the rearview mirror, trying to strike up a conversation with Zaviera. "Mrs. Mamet, you can drive. That car was modified by Mr. Mamet, and not many people can drive it. I can do a little." Zaviera's fingers moved on the backpack, and added, "The car is well modified." Caleb Mamet snorted sarcastically. Zaviera looked at him inexplicably. Steve hurriedly stepped in to smooth things over. "Mrs. Mamet, what brought you to the old town? Young people rarely come this way now." "I came to see an old teacher." "Teacher? Didn't Zaviera come back from the countryside? Could it be that her teacher moved from the countryside to Lebanon?" "A teacher from Lebanon University." Caleb Mamet looked at the investigation results on his laptop screen and suddenly said, "I almost forgot that you were a student at Lebanon University." "Zaviera, dot. I would have forgotten if you hadn't reminded me. Lebanon University." Steve was astonished. "Mrs. Mamet, you're actually a student at Lebanon University Aircity. Mr. Mamet is going to have an event at Lebanon University in a few days. I think he's going to be a judge or something. NG. Mrs. Mamet, you can show us around the university campus then. I heard that the scenery at Lebanon University is beautiful." Caleb laughed disdainfully. "Do I need her to lead me around? There were so many school officials, why would he need her to be his guide?" "Steve, Mr. Mamet, you can't win over your wife like this." Getting used to Caleb's frequent sarcasm, Zaviera tapped his arm. "What event are you attending at Lebanon University?" "I also have an event in a few days. I need to check if the times clash. If they do, I'm afraid I won't be able to show you around the campus." Steve spoke up before she could answer. "It's a clothing design competition, and the school has invited Mr. Mamet to be a judge. The Mamet Group recruits fresh talent from Lebanon University every year, so no matter what event the school holds, they will always send an invitation to Caleb, even though he has never attended. But this time it's different. Mrs. Mamet is a student at Lebanon University, so Mr. Mamet has to go." Caleb wanted to say who would go to the school to be a judge, but he opened his mouth and didn't say anything. Just then, Zaviera hesitated and said, "Clothing design competition? I think the event I'm attending is also this one." However, she wasn't sure. The school had invited her by email, but she found it boring, so she just threw it aside and ignored it. "Mrs. Mamet, are you a fashion design major as well?" Steve was even more surprised. "Perhaps we'll be able to see Mrs. Mamet's designs among the entries this time." "Zaviera, your expectations might be misplaced, as I'm not going there to compete." When they got back to the Lowen clubhouse, Zaviera went straight to the third floor and pulled up an old email from Lebanon University's official account. "Miss Lahill, our school is holding a fashion designer selection contest, and we sincerely invite you to attend as a judge. We hope you will consider our request. Our students highly admire your design works and philosophy. It would be an honor for our students and our school if you could personally attend and give guidance." Lahill, a fashion designer who emerged 3 years ago, won the first prize in an international fashion design competition as soon as she debuted. Her designs were characterized by their gorgeous, eye-catching style, and the clothes she designed would sell out within 3 seconds. Countless fashion brands sought to collaborate with her, but Lahill's whereabouts were elusive, causing much frustration among the brands. She produced very few design drafts each year and selected collaborators capriciously, making major groups both love and hate her. Unconsciously scrolling the mouse, Zaviera wondered whether or not to attend. That was the question. Chapter 28, That Woman Has No Heart. At this moment, two more emails came in. One was from the Lebanon University official account, confirming her participation. At the end of the email, it said, "Mag Evans, who once received your guidance, will also participate in this clothing design competition. Aren't you very interested in her?" Zaviero let out a sound and clicked on the other email. It was from the Mamet Corporation's design department, inviting her to attend the clothing design competition at Lebanon University. They also sincerely expressed their desire to collaborate and hoped that Ms. Lahill would agree to meet and discuss cooperation matters. Zaviera's eyes lingered on the words, "the Mamet Corporation," and finally, she let out a helpless sigh. The next morning, when Zaviero left, Caleb hadn't gotten up yet. She grabbed a piece of bread and greeted the new servant before leaving. Hard when Caleb came downstairs, the servant greeted him, "Good morning, Mr. Mamet." Caleb took the newspaper handed to him by the servant and casually asked, "Where's my wife?" "Not up yet." The servant replied with his hands down, "Mr. Mamet, ma'am left early this morning." Caleb put down the newspaper and scoffed lightly. When Steve Price arrived, he saw Caleb sitting in the dining room with a cold face. He swallowed and asked, "Mr. President, shall we leave now?" Caleb sneered coldly, "What else?" Steve Price quietly pointed upstairs and cautiously asked, "Don't we need to wait for the madam?" "Caleb, you wait for her? Does she wait for you?" "That woman had no heart, Steve Price, he got it, his wife had abandoned them and left first." At this time, backstage at the clothing design competition at Lebanon University, there was a sea of 28 Chapter 28, That Woman Has No Heart people. An ordinary-looking girl was intimately holding Mag Evans' arm and said with some surprise, "So many people are participating in this competition? Way more than in previous years." Mag greeted the people she knew while answering the girl's question, "In the past, there were a lot of people attending because every design competition had the opportunity to be selected into the Mamet Corporation's design department, so students desperately tried to squeeze in. I heard that this time, the president of the Mamet Corporation, Caleb, will personally come over, and many people want to have close contact with this legendary figure. Caleb. More Mamet's younger uncle." The girl teasingly winked at Mag, "These girls are breaking their heads to see someone they can't meet, but our Mag will see him every day in the future, RIG-HT. After all, you guys will be family." "Quina, you're talking nonsense again." Mag blushed and her coquettish look made Quina's heart flutter. "Mag, don't make that expression. I'm afraid I won't be able to resist committing a crime." Mag was the school's acknowledged beauty, her eyes shy and timid, easily evoking people's protective instincts deep in their hearts. "Quina." Mag stomped her foot, and when she saw that she was genuinely shy, Quina giggled and pulled her to change the topic, "Even if Caleb comes, These stud ants don't need to be like this, right? The number of people who signed up for the competition was almost twice as many as in previous years. Because there is another person coming. Thinking of the news she received, Mag suppressed the excitement in her heart, leaned into Quina's ear, and whispered, "It is said that Miss Lahill will also attend this competition as a judge. What?" Quina's eyes widened instantly. You mean Lahill, the Lahill I know?" Hart, the noise they made was loud, and many people backstage looked over here. Mag pulled Quina's arm and whispered a reminder, "Be careful with your voice. This matter is not certain yet. Don't let others hear it." "What's uncertain about it, Mag? Don't you have contact with Miss Lahill?" Chuina winked at Mag, "Don't think I don't know. Miss Lahill even secretly gave you special instructions, personally guiding your design drawings. Tell me, is Miss Lahill planning to take you as her apprentice?" Mag gently shook her head, "I don't know either. I just heard that one of the teachers at school said Miss Lahill liked my design style, but apart from me, there are many other outstanding NG people in the school. I don't know if I can catch Miss Lahill's eye." Lahill was the goddess in the hearts of all fashion design students. Quina exaggerated, "Mag, you're too modest. Who else besides you in the school could catch Miss Lahill's eye? Have some confidence. Maybe Miss Lahill is coming NG just for you this time." Hearing her words, Mag laughed even more gently and heart charmingly. Just then, amidst the crowd, there was a sudden commotion. Everyone instinctively turned their heads and gasped in unison. Who was this woman? She looked so cool, so beautiful, and so stunning. The crowd began to get restless, and there was a lot of discussion. Who is that? So cool. Damn, is she from our College of Fashion Design? How come I never noticed such a beautiful girl in our college before? Is she also participating in the design competition? What should I do? I want to vote for her just by looking at her face. Chapter 29, Plastic Surgery Face Provokes Public Anger Today. Xaviera Evans is wearing a design-intensive workwear, wearing Martin boots, with a thin waist and long legs, giving off an attractive aura. The long loose hair she usually had was divided into two branches and hung on both sides of her shoulders like a fishtail, revealing her exquisite and spirited eyes. She nonchalantly leaned against the door, maintaining a casual posture. Hwick H couldn't hide her imposing aura. The moment she recognized that face, Mag Evans's breath hitched. How did this bitch dress like this today? Xaviera Evans never had much of a requirement for her clothing, either wearing a hoodie or a plaid shirt all year round. Even if Mag Evans knew how outstanding Xaviera's face was, she never took her seriously. Who would have thought she would dress up like this today? Was she deliberately trying to make a scene? The students were all whispering to each other, secretly looking at her, "What should I do? I like her so much, and the clothes she's wearing. Can I ask her where she bought them? I can't make out the brand of the clothes. They say people depend on clothes and horses on saddles, but why do I feel that nobody else could pull off such an explosive effect with this outfit? After all, not everyone has the powerful aura that Xaviera has, because her coolness is inherent in her bones." Their praises fell into Mag Evans's ears, piercing like needles. She took a deep breath, struggling to maintain a smile on her face. "What are you guys talking about? That's my sister Zaviera Evans, don't you remember?
Zaviera Evans. The one from the countryside? She's really that beautiful?
I don't remember her looking like this before." Hearing their questions, Mag Evans also pretended to be surprised. "Actually, I am also surprised by my sister's transformation. As a person who has always been with me, she suddenly became so much more beautiful. But I am happy for my sister's change. She looks so good." Jesse Whitman retracted her admiring gaze to snort sarcastically, "So what? An ugly duckling suddenly becoming beautiful, what else besides plastic surgery? Why? I hate plastic surgery freaks the most, they're hypocrites."
"Queena, don't say that. My sister is just..." Mag Evans bit her lip, not knowing what to say. Her pause was undoubtedly an admission of Jesse Whitman's words, and the way everyone was looking at Zaviera Evans changed instantly. Mag Evans looked at Zaviera apologetically, "Sister, don't mind it. Queena, did Auntie mean that? Are you also here to participate in the competition? Did USIGN up early? Do you want me to help you?"
Zaviera curtly refused, "No need. What's with that attitude?" Before Mag could speak, Jesse Whitman jumped out. She pointed at Zaviera and yelled, "Mag is kind-hearted and understanding, wanting to help you out of your confusion. Is this how you treat her?
Pa? Here is still Miss Evans. Don't you even look in the mirror to see if you are worthy? So you think you're awesome because you've had some plastic surgery and have become beautiful and can participate in the competition?
Hehe, do you even know what fashion design is? Can you draw sketches?
A little country bumpkin from the countryside, regardless of how well dressed, how does it see hang the fact that you're just trash? The competition is about ability, not about whose face looks better after plastic surgery." She was furious with what she was saying, but unfortunately, Zaviera didn't even give her a glance and walked away with a cold gaze. Her outright ignoring made Jesse Whitman unable to get down from her high horse. She raised her voice again, "Zaviera. I'm talking to you. Are you deaf? What qualification do you have to participate in the breaking her bones, that strength?" It took a while for Mag to react. She hurriedly went over to help Jesse up. "Queena, how are you?
Don't cry, I'll call an ambulance right away."
She clumsily dialed the number, her tears welling up in her eyes due to her worry. She glared accusingly at Zaviera, "Sister, Queena did get a bit carried away. But she's genuinely well-meaning, she didn't really want to hurt you. She just acted without thinking in the heat of the moment. But how could you batter Queena to such a state?" Chapter 13, Dropping Out Jesse. Whitman looked truly pitiful right now, stirring compassion in the people around her. "She's so vicious. She dared to attack in front of so many people. When alone, would she kill someone? No, I'm going to report this to the school. I demand that she be expelled. Expulsion is a must." Just as the crowd was calling in unison to kick Zaviera Evans out of the school, a male voice came from the doorway. "Who are you planning to expel?"
The crowd turned around instinctively and immediately found their backbone upon seeing who the speaker was. "President, you must stand up for Jesse." Gabby Rome, the president of the student council, the most handsome guy of El Ibanan University, and also the only son of a school trustee, held an extraordinarily high status at Lebanon University. Gabby Rome looked directly at Zaviera Evans. "Evans, I mean Zaviera, what happened?" He had a harmless-looking face, although he was a year older than Zaviera, he looked like a younger brother. Someone stood up to explain, "President, this Zaviera Evans attacked Jesse Whitman backstage and now Jesse can't move. Mag Evans just called an ambulance. Now, we all protest and refuse to be in the same school as Zaviera. People who freely attack other students are too terrifying. Oh? Attacking for no reason." Gabby Rome glanced at Jesse Whitman lying on the ground and then at the Cal-Am Zaviera. Suddenly, he spoke, "Zaviera, aren't you going to explain?" Zaviera rolled her eyes, "Are you blind? Look at what's in her hand." "All right, I will take a look." Gabby Rome friskily trotted over and crouched down by Jesse Whitman. Upon hearing Zaviera's words, Jesse clearly panicked and began looking for a place to hide something. Gabby Rome didn't entertain her and spread her hand open with no gentlemanly manner, revealing a sharp little blade used by design college students to cut threads from clothing. Gabby Rome's face suddenly dropped, his round eyes full of coldness. "Jesse Whitman, may I ask what this is?" The students around him were stunned. They looked at Jesse and then at Zaviera. A clever student hesitated a bit and said, "I remember that Jesse was going to scratch Zaviera's face with this exact hand, right? That attack was directed towards Zaviera's face. If Jesse's hand, with a blade in it, would have landed on Zaviera's face, just thinking about that scene," the students present couldn't help but shiver. "Jesse intended to disfigure Zaviera." "No, no, I didn't. Jesse's defense was rather weak." Gabby Rome dusted off his pants and got up. "Guards, Jesse Whitman intention ally tried to intentionally harm a fellow student during school hours. The severity of her actions calls for expulsion as a warning to others. All students should abide by the law and the school rules, and should not do anything that would harm Lebanon University or violate its rules." Hearing this, Jesse completely broke down. "No, no, no, you can't. Mag, Mag, save me. I don't want to be expelled." Unfortunately, her struggle was futile in the hands of the security guards, and she was soon dragged away. Gabby Rome secretly observed Zaviera's expression, but her face had remained expressionless all this while. He couldn't tell whether she was satisfied or not. Mag watched as Jesse was taken away, her red eyes welling up as she tried to intercede. "Gabby, Queena didn't mean to. Expulsion is too harsh. Could you? Wait a minute, who are you calling Gabby? I don't know you that well." Gabby Rome took a step back, hiding behind Zaviera with righteous words, "And you're saying that Jesse didn't do it on purpose? Did the blade grow legs and walk into her handi? Also, if I recall correctly, Zaviera is your family member, she's your sister. Jesse almost ruined your sister's face, but you're not worried for your sister, instead, you're concerned about the person who almost hurt your sister. What kind of logic is that? Caught off guard, Mag responded, but Zaviera wasn't injured, right? Gabby Rome chuckled, that's an interesting statement. Mag also realized that what she had just said was somewhat inappropriate, so she quickly tried to make up for it, I just think it's too cruel for Jesse. Being expelled from Lebanon University, her life will be ruined, finished speaking, she pleaded towards Zaviera, sister, can I apologize on behalf of Jesse? Could you ask Gabby, I mean, Kyle, do you ask the president to revoke Jesse's punishment? Zaviera lazily adjusted the fishtail braid on her chest. Get Gabby Rome to revoke the punishment? Do you think I, a country bumpkin, can do that? Gabby Rome. A country bumpkin? Has his brother Evan's taste changed? How come he likes such quirky nicknames? But, even a country bumpkin can command him. As long as Evans gave the order, he would immediately call Jesse back.